Welcome to the Soulful Insights podcast. I'm your host, Tandy. Today, we delve deep into how reclaiming and nurturing your inner child can be the key to transforming self-doubt into an unwavering confidence and resilience. Self-doubt often stems from our early life experiences. As children, we are incredibly sensitive to the world around us. Negative experiences during these formative years can create lasting impressions that shape how we view ourselves, how we view our capabilities, how we show up in relationships, and even how we show up in our everyday life. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what this might look like in your life right now. So you may find yourself in a never-ending loop of self-sabotage in everything you try to accomplish in your life. You may have a really powerful inner critic that you struggle to silence. You may find yourself sabotaging intimate relationships. You may start projects and never finish them. You may spin in overwhelm all the time. You may feel like you're just going through the motions in life. You may find that you are very emotionally disconnected in the relationships that you have, whether that's with a significant other or your own children. The list goes on and on and on. But the point is that a lot of the self-sabotaging negative thoughts and behavior patterns can be traced to the programming you received as a child or even as a teen. And what I mean by programming is really that your view of yourself and the world around you is shaped by the perceptions and views of others around you when you were a child or a teen. So if your parents were perfectionistic, and you felt like you could never live up to their standards. If your parents always talk negatively about themselves, you may have learned that maybe this is how you're supposed to think about yourself. If your parents constantly complained and always saw everything from a negative worldview, you may have unknowingly accepted and adopted that same worldview. And so you constantly have this negative view of everything that happens and even a negative view of your life. It may even be more difficult experiences than these, such as you may have experienced verbal or physical abuse in your early childhood or teen years, and this can also have a profound impact on how you show up in your life. Inner child healing is about clearing away all the programming from your early life so that you can bloom and become who you were truly meant to be. So you can become who you truly are. It allows you to truly connect with your higher self, to find your true divine nature, and finally let go of the stories that you tell yourself, the stories that you live out of from the programming or the trauma of your past. This is where inner child healing becomes pivotal. By reconnecting with and healing your inner child, we address these foundational experiences, reshaping our self-perception and dismantling the doubts that hold you back. Many people don't even realize how profoundly their experiences as a child hold them back in their adult life and prevent them from finding true purpose and joy in their life. I have had several people tell me that they had a happy childhood. They didn't experience what they would consider trauma, so they really don't feel like they need any inner child healing. While it might be entirely true that they didn't experience any difficult things in their life, it doesn't mean that there were not unhealthy dynamics that may have led to certain beliefs or thoughts or patterns that you might have about yourself. So, or even just in your life. For example, one woman that I worked with, a happy childhood, as she described it. But she struggled immensely with poor body image, and it dramatically impacted her relationships and how she showed up in life. She really, at the basic level, just wasn't very happy, and she had a poor relationship with herself as well. And as we peeled back the layers, we found that both her mother and her father would make comments about women's bodies all the time as she was growing up. They would make comments about women's weight. They would make comments about feeling bad for a husband whose wife was overweight or quote, unattractive or whatever. Her mother was obsessed with being thin and looking a certain way. And there was just this constant underlying messaging that a woman's value came from what she looked like, what she weighed. And this thought patterning that she received as a child caused a painful belief that her worth and value as a woman was directly related to her weight and how, quote, pretty she was. So as you can see, it isn't just about abuse or living in a dysfunctional home, which of course those obviously we can see that that's going to create some negative patterns in your life. But negative thought patterning can happen in a lot of situations, and it's important to be able to peel back those layers to discover these patterns so that you can heal from them and find freedom from the painful narratives that they're creating in your life. Why is inner child healing so crucial? It allows you to live more intentionally, steering clear of the autopilot mode driven by past traumas or unhealed wounds. It empowers you to overcome self-sabotage, which is a common barrier to personal and even professional fulfillment. By healing these early parts of yourself, we cultivate self-confidence and resilience and make it easier for you to face life's challenges with a robust and rejuvenated spirit. Nurturing your inner child paves the way for true happiness and peace in your life and in your relationships. It enables you to form healthier connections, communicate more effectively, and love more openly. When you understand and heal your inner child, you learn to act out of love and understanding rather than fear and insecurity. And as you can see, it's very obvious that when we are operating out of fear and insecurity or out of these negative patterns, relationships are impacted. Your relationship with your own children, your relationship with a significant other, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with yourself is profoundly impacted. And so when we are able to help you move through a lot of this patterning and these negative thoughts, negative habits, negative behaviors, you're able to love more openly. You find that self-confidence, that inner strength within you that allows you to live more intentionally, and you find happiness, fulfillment, and joy in your life. So one of the techniques that I use with a lot of my clients is a guided meditation and visualization technique. And this technique assists them in identifying these defining moments in their life that have created negative thought patterns or behaviors. And it's a very gentle approach. They don't have to, you know, remember entire situations or talk about traumatic events or even give me any information about what happened, because this is not therapy, right? So we're not causing triggers. We're not bringing up old wounds and talking about or trying to do any of that. But we can hold that little girl or that young woman and give her the love and support that she needed at that time. Tell her the things that she needed to hear. And as we work through this process, I allow my client to express in their mind any feelings that they need to release at that time. And the only communication that they give me is when they are ready to let go of that situation and detach from the negative emotional hold that it has on them. And sometimes it takes multiple sessions. It's completely designed around you. Sometimes there's a lot of emotion behind something. We aren't rehashing it. We aren't reliving it. Basically what it is we allow you will kind of scan, and there will be an age that comes up. And my client will just, 8 years old. That's the only thing they say, because they are thinking in their mind as I'm guiding them, and they'll say, the age that's coming up is 8 years old. And I'll say, do you know what happened at 8 years old that may have, had an impact on you or a defining moment at that age? And they say, yes. That is the only thing they say to me. We don't go into any more detail. I'm not going to ask you, oh, was it abuse? Was it this? Was it that? We don't even go into it. They're like, yes, I know what it was. And then we can go through emotional processing and we go through certain techniques of working through that. But there is never a bringing up of anything. So it is very powerful, but at the same time, it allows emotions to be processed, but we are not dealing anything with the situation at all. This technique is very powerful. It helps your brain accept the release and letting go of the negative emotions and patterns that were created by that situation. And I also use techniques that help you learn how to be an observer of your thoughts. So as you move through the healing process, you learn to question your thoughts, not in a judgmental way. It isn't, oh, that was a bad thought. I shouldn't think that. It isn't that. It's just being an observer so that you can be more intentional about what you're thinking. A lot of times we go through these negative thought loops and negative beliefs about ourselves that just aren't accurate. They just aren't true. So to give you an example, dealing with my husband, and he was telling me there was this, he is a senior account manager, and he manages very large multi-million dollar accounts. And there was this man that he dealt with at this company that was one of his accounts, and he was dealing with the CEO of this company. And my husband kept telling me, this guy hates me. I have a hard time getting him, you know, my husband's supposed to take him out to lunch at times and just work with these customers on their needs. And he really believed that this CEO didn't like him, hated him. He had all this narrative around the CEO. And one day I asked him, I'm like, so you have all these thoughts that he hates you. Did he ever directly say, I hate you? And my husband was like, well, no. Like, did he ever say, I don't like you? Or has he ever expressed that? And he said, no. And I said, okay, where did this thought come from that this man hates you or doesn't like you? Well, he's ornery. He's not very nice. He doesn't return my phone calls. And he has all this evidence that he's giving me. And I'm like, okay, but maybe him being ornery or rude has nothing to do with you, though. Could that possibly be true? Maybe that's just the way he shows up in his life. Maybe that's just, you know, he has a lot of beliefs and thoughts and things within himself that he shows up as a very ornery kind of rude person. But maybe it's not just about you. Maybe he's that way with everyone. Could that possibly be true? And he's like, oh, I never thought of it like that. Yeah. And we went through kind of observing his thoughts and what he chose to believe about what this man thought about him. And he had a really hard time accepting the idea that this man didn't really hate him. And as I was working with my husband through this, just kind of using some of these techniques that I often use with my clients, and it was very interesting because this man was nearing the age of retirement. And he asked my husband if he could take him to dinner. He said, oh, sure. They go to dinner. And this man asked my husband, he says, I don't have any children or anyone to take over this company for me. And I really respect you. You're really good at what you do. And he literally was offering his company to my husband. And I'm telling you this story because my husband, there is childhood issues here, okay? My husband's family, the way that he grew up, I'm not going to go into a lot of that out of respect for him and his family, but very dysfunctional family dynamics, we'll just put it that way, that led to my husband always thinking that people don't like him, struggling, you know, connecting with people and understanding the emotions of others and all of that. And so he comes back and he tells me this, and I said, you see, I told you that he didn't hate you. This had nothing to do with you. And it was really interesting to see him, you know, start to realize that a lot of times we think certain things that aren't true. And it comes out of this patterning that we've had from childhood or our teenage years, the way that we perceive things. And so the techniques that I am helping you with in observing your thoughts is moving through this healing process, you learn to question those thoughts, to become more intentional about the thoughts you choose to believe or the thoughts you choose to accept. And then you can also choose to let go of thoughts that don't serve your highest good. Was it helping my husband to think that this man hated him? No. It wasn't beneficial. It wasn't helpful. And one of the things that I really work with my clients on is putting other people's behavior on them. And it's something that is hard for almost everyone to do. And there are some people that grow up in pretty positive environments that are really good at doing this, but most of us are not. We usually make other people's behavior be about us. Oh, they don't like me. I've done something wrong. I'm not good. Instead of saying, no, that's their way of showing up in the world that has nothing to do with me. So a lot of these negative thought patterns create self-doubt, and that severely affects every aspect of your life and how you show up in your life. And the reason I say self-doubt, you look at my husband's, the example that I gave with him, he believes that this CEO hates him or doesn't like him. And the way that my husband is showing up, he doubts himself. He's like, you know, and I, there were several, you know, my husband deals with a lot of people that have toxic ways of interacting with the world. And he deals with some purchasing people that are extremely narcissistic or toxic or whatever. And he, when you take all of that on yourself and think, oh, it's because something's wrong with me rather than something's wrong with that person, you start to doubt yourself. He's like, he starts creating this idea, okay, these people don't like me, is the thought that he's having. And he starts thinking, what's wrong with me? The self-doubt starts to creep in. Maybe I'm not very friendly. Maybe I'm not a very likable person. So then you start doubting your likability, doubting your value, doubting how good you are at your job, doubting all of this stuff, and start spinning in all this negativity. And it all starts with this thought that you're noticing these people at work or these people that you work with are not acting in a positive way towards you, and you're making that about you. And this happens to a lot of people, and a lot of it does come out of these childhood narratives that were created for us. But this self-doubt, oftentimes shaped during early childhood, maybe your teenage years, through the messages that you received from family, friends, society. Some people, this comes out of experiencing bullying in their elementary school or junior high or even high school, that it creates this narrative that something was wrong with you. When in reality, if you were experiencing bullying, that was about the bully, not about you. And I know that it's really hard for us to separate that. And that's what we're working through in inner child healing and through this intuitive coaching process, is this life coaching process, is we're helping you untangle yourself from the thoughts and behaviors and actions of people throughout your life. What that person was doing has nothing to do with your value, has nothing to do with you. And that self-doubt that we get, that the negative thought patterns and beliefs about ourselves, is all entangled in this. And dealing with some of my clients, I have a client that I dealt with who grew up in a very emotionally sterile family environment. Nobody showed emotions. There was not a lot of laughing. They didn't really know about each other's lives at all. And this created a lot of issues in relationships, because when you don't learn as a child when you see, you know, a brother or sister who is being bullied, or a brother or sister who is struggling with something in their life, and you see their emotions and you see how it's handled, and you learn to have empathy, you learn how to connect with emotions. This emotionally sterile environment made this person terrified of emotions. Absolutely terrified of any emotion, anger, someone crying. They would just absolutely disconnect and try to just go inward and run away from any level of emotion. You can see how that doesn't seem to be like a really big deal. Oh, you grew up in a family that didn't ever show very many emotions and never really talked or interacted so that you could learn to form relationships. It's nothing major. It's not abusive, but it created a lot of issues in life. And those are things that we're trying to untangle, these beliefs that even just belief that emotions are scary or frightening. And this person over time has been able to learn to connect in relationships, and it has created the most beautiful, intimate, connected relationships that have been fulfilling and joyful, where before they were very disconnected and relationships weren't as fulfilling. So there's so much that can be done by questioning these thoughts and patterns that we learned in our childhood or young adult life. Your childhood and adolescence are very formative years. It's when you're molding your sense of self. It's also when you're most vulnerable to the opinions and feedback from those around you, or even just the environment that you're in the home. It doesn't have to be abusive even. It can be, and that's obvious. But there's a lot of less obvious things. Not all messages that we receive through childhood and those formative years are empowering. And some of them, even though they're subtle and unintended, can sow seeds of doubt that may grow and persist into adulthood. Consider the child who's consistently told they're too sensitive, or you're too quiet, or you talk like a baby, or the teenager who's criticized for their interests or their academic performance. You know, some parents expect their child to be a lawyer or a doctor or something that they value, and the child is artistic and creative. And so they're constantly being criticized. No, you can't make it as a musician. You can't make it as an artist. These are not valid. We want you to be something else that we value. That can be very damaging. These messages might seem minor, but they can significantly impact how we view our capabilities and worth. And they set a narrative in our minds that we aren't good enough, that we're not strong enough, that we're not smart enough to pursue our dreams or stand up for ourselves or even live our dreams. So I'm going to give you another example of myself. I was raised in a high demand religion where I was told that I should not put off getting married or having children to pursue a college education, that my highest calling in life was to be a wife and a mother, and that would be the most rewarding thing I could possibly do in my life. And I had a lot of dreams and aspirations as a young teenager. I loved learning things. But because of the conditioning of my high demand religion, I only finished one semester of college, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and I loved my children, and I loved what I was doing. But there were a lot of times where I struggled feeling isolated and alone, and sometimes feeling worthless in the sea of diapers and laundry and toddler tantrums and lack of sleep. I wasn't finding this rewarding, fulfilling experience that they told me I would. But I loved raising my children, and I loved my children, and I immersed myself in it and kind of just tried to shelf some of those feelings, because you're told that you shouldn't feel that way. You should feel fulfilled. It should be rewarding, you know. But when my children were grown and moved out, I was in my early 40s. And this highest calling I could have in life, the most rewarding thing I could do, was gone. The house was silent and empty. There were no children to feed. There was very little laundry. And all of a sudden, I was left feeling completely lost. even the simple messaging of a high-demand religion that tries to tell you how your life should look can be extremely damaging. When someone tries to put you in a box and say, your life should look like this, I'm going to tell you what you should do and what should be rewarding to you and what should be fulfilling to you, is never going to work for every person. Some people, that will be great. Some people, it will work out perfectly for, and they'll say, this is fine for me. I felt fine. But just because you felt fine doesn't mean that this box is for everyone. I had to go back to school and find purpose in my life in my 40s. And it was hard. And so this doesn't even have to be programming. Well, I did receive this programming as a child, but more of this, I was more consciously aware through my teen years, and it became damaging in my 40s. And I did go through life coaching with another coach who helped me kind of walk through this. Throughout your life, you may receive programming and messaging that might be well-intended, but can have disastrous consequences on your ability to connect with your true self, to connect with your true purpose in life. And it can happen at any time throughout your life. And I created Aura Soul Institute after completing my education and finding my purpose. So I recognize the deep impact these early messages have on your self-esteem and self-confidence. And through intuitive spiritual coaching and guided meditations, I work with you to unearth and confront these early imprints. And my goal is not just to revisit these memories, but to understand and reframe them. Why is this important? Because overcoming self-doubt is essential for living a life that is truly intentional, fulfilled, and free from the chains of past narratives. Inner child healing plays a crucial role in this process. It involves reconnecting with that part of you, the child you once were, who internalized these doubts and these thoughts and these beliefs. It's about offering compassion to that child, understanding the fears, understanding the pain, understanding the confusion, and correcting those old harmful misconceptions. This healing is transformative. I know, because I've been through it and I have done it myself. It allows you to rewrite your story from one of doubt and fear to one of strength and confidence. So why focus on these stages of life? Because the beliefs we form about ourselves during our early years are foundational. They can shape our relationships, our career choices, and the overall approach to life's challenges and opportunities that we take. By addressing and healing these parts of our past, we empower ourselves to move forward with resilience and clarity. And in my sessions with my clients, I guide you through this healing journey with sensitivity and expertise. I also became a trauma-informed coach so that I could help with a lot of these difficult past experiences, ensuring that you feel supported as you confront and move beyond your past. This process is about more than just overcoming self-doubt. It's about rediscovering and reclaiming your power to lead a joyful, purpose-driven life. I really appreciate you joining me today. And remember, the journey to overcoming self-doubt begins with understanding its roots and choosing to heal them. And I am here to support you on this path to a more confident and intentional you. Let's continue to heal, grow, and transform together. With my coaching clients, we harness the transformative power of intuitive spiritual coaching combined with these guided meditations that are tailored specifically for you and specifically for inner child healing. We also do, sometimes it isn't the inner child healing, sometimes we focus a little bit more on just healing the past, because there may be things that come up even from adulthood, but it is tailored to you. And this approach helps tap into deep-seated memories and emotions that are often at the root cause of self-doubt and at the root cause of self-sabotage, negative thought patterns, and behaviors. Through these guided meditations and visualizations, clients are guided gently to revisit and heal their past, which is crucial for fostering a life filled with intention and authenticity. So if you're ready to embark on a journey of profound personal transformation and want to explore how intuitive spiritual coaching can facilitate this, consider my Soul Harmony Coaching. This program is designed to guide you through an inner healing process, help you align more closely with your true self, and live a life brimming with purpose and peace. And you can check out the AuraSoulInstitute.com website and look at the programs that are offered there. And this is where your journey to a healed, empowered, and intentional life begins. Let's break the chains of self-doubt together and step into a brighter, more confident future. Thank you for tuning in with me, and remember, the path to your greatest self begins with healing your inner child. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider donating on the RSS feed homepage to support this work. I really appreciate you being with me today and honor and respect the time that you spend with me. And I hope to see you next time.